would ask if you would stand with me as we participate in our invitation to worship responsively. It's printed in your bulletin. And if you would join by reading the bold print. Gracious God, we heard you even in the sea of disorder and darkness and of the void, crying, light and life become, and all creation was begun.
We gather to seek the order and life you bring.
Redeeming God, we heard you even in the sins of destruction and the nighttime of sadness, crying, enough, here is my son, love and hope for the future.
We gather to seek your salvation. Have mercy. Heal us, O Lord.
Inspiring God, we heard you even in the silence of sorrow and the anguish of pain, crying, if God be for us, who can be against us?
We gather to see you, O Lord. We are here. Sustain us and keep us.
Would you remain standing as we share in our call to worship, Great is the Lord. It's number 12 in your hymn book. God is good,
all the time.
We greet you this morning, as we do always, and the only way we as believers can, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We're here to worship and celebrate that name together. I would like to especially extend that welcome to any visitors we have with us today and encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. You'll find those on the back of the pew in front of you. And very near there, you'll also find a prayer card. We are a praying church. We believe in the power and the importance of prayer. So if you have any needs, please write those down on the card, and you can place those in the offering plate, or you can put them in the prayer box outside in the lobby. And you can also share on their praises, by the way. Often our prayer list is very one-sided on the needs, but there is much to be thankful for, and we want to celebrate and give thanks to God for those praises in our lives as well. One reminder, tonight we do have our church council, followed by our meal and then our roundtable meeting. If you're new to First Baptist, the roundtable is our business meeting, essentially, and we'll be hearing about our budget and hearing a report on that. Also, tonight we'll be voting on our deacon nomination team, so we encourage you to be a part of that exciting opportunity to hear about what's going on in First Baptist, but also to be a part of what's going on at First Baptist. Today, as you enter, you no doubt noticed some of these items that are in the room, a wheelchair, IV. And you probably thought to yourself, there goes the preacher again. He's doing something weird. Well, I invite you to take this in, to see these symbols for what they are. Symbols of healing, life-giving symbols. For today, as we worship, we want to encourage you to begin thinking about the ways that God has brought healing to your life. Maybe it was a physical thing, but maybe it was more of an emotional healing. And for all of us, certainly, we have received the spiritual healing of His saving grace. Would you consider that this morning as we continue to worship?
Our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you bow with me for our invocation prayer? O God, we trust in your power, even as it is found in weakness, in your wisdom, even as it is expressed in seeming foolishness, in your wholeness, even as it comes to us amid brokenness. We do not ask this day for dazzling displays of strength, electric exercises of intellectual prowess, or marvelous manifestation of miracles. We come simply today to worship you. Touch us this day, O Lord, sinners that we are, that we might become your saints, your body, your children, your church here at First Baptist. For this temple of your Spirit is built not upon our own abilities, but upon your knowledge and your will and your strength, and most importantly, your love. This was taught to us so many years ago through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and walked this earth to show us what true love looks like. And as we've learned for him this morning, we lift up the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and sing our hymn of praise, Serve the Lord with Gladness. In your hymnal, it's number 495, and the words are also on the screen. Please stand.
Amen.
As we turn to our time of our ministry highlight, I did want to turn your attention to the Salomon colored sheet you received as you walked into worship today. That gives you a schedule of all the ministry opportunities coming up, not just this week, but in the coming weeks. I did want to make one correction, though. In the listing of the weekly activities, the Contemporary Praise Group begins their practice time at 5:30 every evening. And I'll speak on behalf of Laura that if you want to come out and join the group, please talk to her. Come out at 5:30, but it's from 5:30 to 6:30 each Sunday night. This morning, I also want to specifically mention an opportunity that takes place next Sunday morning. Now, I know after worship, it is the race to the nearest restaurant to see who can get in line first. Is it the Baptist? Is it the Methodist? Is it the Lutherans? Well, I can tell you, next week, the Baptist will be first. Because you don't have to get in your car. All you got to do is walk up the stairs and go to the fellowship hall where the youth will have a wonderful spaghetti lunch already prepared for you. Now, this is a wonderful opportunity. It is the Valentine's season, so there'll be lots of red. There'll be lots of opportunities to fellowship around the table. Now, men, I'm not telling you this counts as your Valentine gift to your sweetie. That does not count. But I do not want to get in trouble with this. But I want to tell you that next Sunday, I want to invite you to come. Bring a donation for the youth group as they prepare for their mission trip to Steubenville, Ohio. And something special this year. When you come up, as you walk through the line, I encourage you to walk down the middle aisle of where the tables usually are. Because what you'll see is a stage. And around the stage will be an adoring mixture of wonderful sweet desserts. And we will have an auction in the middle of our lunch next Sunday morning. And so you will be able to drool over the desserts and then auction your bid for what? Maybe it's a red velvet cake. Maybe it's a key lime pie. There are some crazy things that the youth are making. I will tell you this. I've got the list in my office, but you will get a chance to bid on them next Sunday as a fundraiser for our mission trip to Steubenville, Ohio. So please, don't worry about lunch next week. We've got it covered. Come join us next Sunday in the fellowship hall immediately following worship service. Now, if you would, please stand for our offertory hymn. We'll be singing The Solid Rock, verses 1 and 2. Please stand. Children, our reminder today is a Children's Church Sunday. Immediately following the offertory prayer, you can meet our leaders back at the back door for Children's Church this week. Please let us pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you are the owner and we are the managers of what you entrust us with. Help us to live each day and to generously share the time, talents, the gifts, the treasures, and the many things that you have blessed us with. We return a portion of those to you this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Would you join me in prayer? Oh Lord, as we reflect on the world around us, we know indeed that it is a place in need of healing, a place in desperate need of your healing hands and touch. For everywhere we look, we see sickness and brokenness in war, in economies, in politics, in the lives of families and friends. We turn on the news and we watch in awe at the stories of doom and gloom and sadness and brokenness. Yes, Lord, we pray for healing. For the healing of the nations, for the healing of our nation, for the healing of our families and our communities, for healing for our children, healing for our mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, for the healing of our homes. And Lord, we pray for healing in our own lives. Your Son is the great physician. We pray he would come and care for us. For Lord, we confess that we often inflict such pain on ourselves through our selfishness, through our sin. And so many times, O Lord, we have lost sight of your love and therefore lost hope. But your word tells us that if we confess our sins, you who are faithful and just will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We believe in that promise today. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. We invite you to hear now our second scripture reading from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power. No one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The blessing of God's word shared together. Amen.
blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, for there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out on, turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, well, blessed be your name. You give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. Blessed be your give and take away. Blessed be the name. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name.
Pray with me once more. Blessed be your name, O Lord, King of the universe, the God of all time and all things and all meaning, the God of truth. We seek your truth. We come to your truth in your word this morning to wrestle with it, to allow it to shape our lives, to transform us, and to heal our minds. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. even those who have never read the Gospels. They know something of Jesus as a miracle worker, one who was a source of healing. And many of the scenes that we see in stained glass throughout the world is a scene of Jesus healing a blind person or raising up a dead person or allowing someone who's never walked to walk for the first time or to walk again after a long time. He can make those people who are deathly sick suddenly well and break fevers. And we often call him the great physician. And so throughout his ministry, we see time and time again Jesus bringing healing to those who are in desperate need of it. And as we come to our scripture today, I invite you to return to that question. How has Jesus healed you? What healing has he brought to your life? He is a great healer. I'm reminded of one of those preacher jokes that I heard many years ago about Jesus the healer and the power of his healing in our lives. And as the story goes, Jesus was walking down the road heading into the city, and he passes a man on the roadside who is down on hands and knees and in tears. And Jesus said, "My child, why are you weeping?" And he said, "I'm blind from birth. Have mercy on me." And Lord Jesus reached out his hand and restored the man's sight, gave him the ability to see, and the man simply sprang up and, filled with joy, began walking with Jesus. They came across another man who was down on hands and knees, and he was wallowing in the dirt in tears, and Jesus said, "My child, why are you crying?" And he said, "I'm lame. Lord, I cannot walk. Have mercy on me." And Jesus stretched forth his healing hands, and the man was able to walk again. He leapt up in joy and began walking down the road with Jesus. Then he came across a third man laying there, hands and knees, and in tears. And Jesus said, "My child, why are you weeping?" And he said, "Because I'm a sixth grade English teacher. Have mercy on me." And Jesus sat down and wept with him. But indeed, in the scriptures, we see Jesus is the great physician and the great healer. And as we think about the healing he brings in our lives, as we said at the start, it may be in very different forms for you than it is for me. Perhaps you've experienced a miraculous thing that you cannot name, you cannot put your finger on it, but God saw you through some difficulty in your life. Or perhaps, as more often is the case, God has used skilled physicians to bring about the healing that you needed, but you knew nonetheless to give God thanks and glory. Or perhaps the healing that you've experienced has been one more of an emotional state. God has brought you out of some confusion or some period in your life of darkness and depression, or perhaps God has been there to give you clarity or to help you see what life can be like without worry and stress. Or maybe God has healed you emotionally for some broken experience that you've gone through. Someone has hurt you. Someone has wronged you. Or perhaps the emotional healing that he brought was to bring peace in a state of grief. You've lost someone you loved, and you don't get over the people that you lose, do you? There's no timeline on grief where it suddenly ends one day, but God has sustained you and has brought you to a better place. But all of us can share in the reality of God's healing in our spiritual life. That once we were blind, but now we see. Once we were lost, but now we are found. Once we could not walk, but now we can walk. And in fact, all of the miracles that Jesus performs throughout the Bible are intended to show us just that. That we live as people who are blind, people who are deaf, who cannot hear God speaking, people who are lame and cannot walk the right walk. And Jesus, the great physician, steps into our lives and says, "See, hear, walk. And so every miracle account in the Gospels is there for a profound reason. You see, Jesus said a lot of things and did a lot of things that are not recorded for us. So if this story that we are about to share together is recorded here in Mark's Gospel, it is for a profound purpose. It's not just a side note or just a casual observance of something Jesus did or said. It's here to change our lives, to show us something about God and about ourselves. And so we come to the Gospel of Mark. And as we come here in chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel, beginning in verse 29, we get this beautiful account of Jesus' healing power and ministry. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. You've heard the saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? Well, I have learned since marriage, if mama-in-law ain't happy, nobody's happy either. And so there is this compassion in their minds, even in the presence of Jesus. They acknowledge right away he is the healer, and here is one who is sick, and they rush out to tell him this news. In verse 31, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew who he was. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went through Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out evil spirits. So why this story of healing? Because if you consider it, a fever is really not that big of a deal. She was having hot flashes. She was filled with this fever. She was weak and could not stand. And so why would Mark feel like this moment in the life of ministry for Jesus is so important? I mean, this is not a Lazarus story here, is it? It's not like she was dead. Or like she was the little girl that Jesus said, "Talitha kum," you know, get up, awake. But this story is here, I think, because it tells the disciple how we ought to respond to God's healing presence in our lives. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? It's black and white. It says that Jesus reached out his hand, he lifted her up, the fever stopped, and immediately she began what? Waiting on them. The Greek word there is from the root diakonos, the deacon word you may be familiar with. And we wrestled with this meaning of deacon, that Greek word, many weeks ago. And we discovered that literally the word means through the dust. And the image is one of someone serving with such energy and fervor that they're coming in and out of the kitchen door, kicking up a cloud of dust as they come and go. And with that energy and that enthusiasm, she responds to her healing by serving them, by waiting on their needs and caring for others. This healing that we receive in Christ. And here I speak specifically about the healing of our soul, our spiritual healing, that we were once blind and now we see. What do we do with that? How do we respond to that? we respond through the dust, through kicking up such a cloud of dust through our service and our acts and our healing that we bring to the lives of others. We are healed that we might heal others. We are saved that we might bring salvation to others. Our fever is broke so that we might break the fever of this world. Our healing comes to us not for ourselves, but for the sake of the world. The image I compare this to would be that of a war zone in which the field doctor, the medic, runs to bring healing to another doctor so that now two doctors can stand and heal others. And then those two doctors heal two more doctors until there's four that are running through the trenches bringing life to those who are about to die. We are all doctors in the church. From the minute of our baptism, we were baptized into this ministry to bring life and light and salt to the world, flavor and hope. We are all just doctors caring for others. And so it troubles me, it bothers me when people will say, how is your church going to meet my needs? How can First Baptist meet my spiritual needs, my family needs? I always say to people, that's the wrong question. Now, the question is, how will you meet the needs of First Baptist Church? The church is not here to meet your needs. It's here to be a place where we can come and we together can discover how we might meet the needs of other people. How we might meet the needs of our community. How we might meet the needs of our worlds. No, my friends, your salvation is not for you. It's for me. Just as my salvation is not for me, it's for you. We are saved that we might bring life to each other. And this works, believe it or not. Because if I am emptying myself and living selflessly and surrendering all of my wants and wishes and needs and desires to serve you, but you are doing the same thing for me, and we are healed, we are cared for, we are doctors for one another. For the reality and the reason for these symbols in this room is not to help us simply think of our own healing, but to think of ourselves as the emergency room doctors of the world. That this place here is a triage center. People, we come into this place broken and dying from the world. We come into this place hemorrhaging from the wounds the world inflicts on us from Monday through Saturday. We come in here with a fever, with a sickness that being out there has brought on to us. And we come broken, do we not? We come hurting, do we not? And so as we step into this place, we should look around and see each other. And see the faces in the pews next to us and across the room and realize, you know, that person there is just as hurt as I am. Just as broken as me. And that's when we are invited by the Spirit to come and to heal one another. That the fever is broken by God's mercy, and immediately we should get up and go through the dust to wait on each other's needs, to serve one another. And if this is the triage center, if this is the emergency room, if this is the hospital, then out in our Bible studies and in our fellowship groups, that's the recovery room, isn't it? Where we learn how to recover and live anew this life of healing, to continue to seek ways to be an agent of healing for other people. I bring you back to that question we started this worship service with. I asked you, how has God healed you? But I want to turn the question around now and ask you this: how have you healed others?
How have you served others? How have you cared for the people around you? Whose life are you infusing healing into? Into whose life are you bringing love and mercy and grace and sight? Who are you helping to walk? Because I believe how we answer that question defines us as human beings. Would you consider that this week as we close in prayer? Lord, open our eyes that we might see the needs all around us, that we would seek not to be a people who want all of our needs met, but that we would unite with this body so that we might meet the needs of the world. Open our ears so that we might hear the concern in our brothers and sisters' voices, hear the pain that others are going through, so that we might know where we are needed, know where you are calling us. Lord, heal our lameness, that we might be a people who walk out of buildings like this and into the world to bring light and life, to bring hope and glory, the glory of your one and only Son, Jesus the Christ, the great physician. We are healed, Lord. Teach us to heal. Amen. We invite you this morning to respond to God's word as you've heard it. Perhaps there was something in today's service that has spoken to you. Maybe it was something visual. Maybe it was something in the prayer or perhaps in the song. But I invite you that as God speaks to you, would you answer him today? Or perhaps you're one who's looking for a church home. You're looking for a place and you're beginning to realize it's not about your needs, but about how you might serve others. Many people will tell me, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. No, but perhaps the church needs you. Would you come and join this body today? However you seek to respond, I will be here as always at the front, ready to pray with you, to counsel you, and to offer you any strength or healing that you might be seeking. So would you respond as we stand together, if you're able, and sing our hymn of response, the Servant Song, hymn number 613 in your hymnals. moment. As we have been worshiping and singing, I want to invite Nancy to come and stand with me. She's been signing her life away. Nancy Kahn has been worshiping with us for a while and has been part of Sunday school and part of the life of this church. And I love what you said as you came down. She said, "I'm looking for a place to serve. This is that place." And she comes to seek membership in this body through a transfer of letter from another congregation. And if you're affirming that, if you want to celebrate that with her, we ask that you affirm that by simply standing up now. Nancy, you do not stand alone today, but in this body of Christ, you are welcome, and we welcome you. I want to invite you, if you would, to stay here to the front after this service. You will want to come and welcome her personally in a more personal, intimate way. I encourage you to do that as we celebrate this new member. Welcome. Would you receive this blessing and benediction as we pray? May the great physician, the God of healing, go with you, guiding each step as you leave this place and into this week, that you might be indeed those agents of healing that he has called you and saved you to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.